We find it enriches our life.
The rewards are massive.
I worried about my dad's love having to be shared out.
Every year, Fostering North Yorkshire looks after over 300 children in fostering placements across the county. From babies to young adults, they come from many different backgrounds and have many different needs. But these young people all have one thing in common. They're all looking for a caring family to help them feel safe, secure and happy.
My favourite thing is making new friends.
You do have moments you think, what the heck have I put myself through this for? But the rewards are just really great in comparison to what you've gone through.
In this four-part series, we go behind the scenes of Fostering North Yorkshire. We meet those who keep the system running, some of the amazing carers and the inspirational young people themselves.
You do get people that say, that's such an amazing thing that you're doing.
It can be a lifesaver.
So, what does it take to become a foster carer? Episode 4, Providing a Family Life, the Success of Fostering.
Do I see myself as someone special for doing it? And do I see my dad as someone special for doing it? No. But you do get people that say, that's such an amazing thing that you're doing. And I wouldn't say no to that. It is amazing. But that's not just me and my dad. That's every foster carer. What they're doing is amazing. You know, some people might know someone that is in the care system or whatever, or their mate might be in the care system. How you got to look at it is someone's not got what you've got, mum and dad, a home. So you're providing something for them. So that is amazing, you know. And I'm not saying what I'm doing is amazing, but I'm saying what everyone else is doing in the foster system is amazing. So, yeah, the answer to that was, no, I wouldn't see myself as special. But I do see as being a foster care, it's a special thing. Just, I'd say it's good work. Well, my name's Peter Jack Stubbs. I am 21. Well, I was about 12, 13. Basically, my dad had just come out of his job that he'd had for a long time, and he was you know, thinking what could he do next, because he's really only ever been in the same line of work. So I think he was a bit lost to what he could do, and I think his process of thought was that, you know, he's raised me since I was four by himself, he's not done a too bad of a job of it, you know. So I think he thought, well, being a parent's probably one of my stronger points, you know. So he came up to me and he said, I was thinking about fostering, and we just had a chat, and he just asked me, you know, what would I think, you know. He reassured me that it wouldn't be like a thing of that I'd become less important or anything like that, you know, because as a child, you know, for younger kids anyway, I mean, fair enough, if I was this age now, I probably wouldn't need that reassurance, but as younger kids, you do worry a bit that someone who's coming in who's been deprived of a family or whatever, you do think that they're going to have a bit more than you to make them feel good, but that's not what it is. They just become the same as you. So that's just what the conversation was about, really, yeah.
David Stubbs lived in Harrogate now for probably 22 years. Probably 9 years I've been qualified as a foster carer. I decided to take early retirement and found out that I was very bored and I needed something to do. And therefore, I sat back and thought, well, what can I do? At the age of 54, something like that, I realised that I'd been a single parent for 14 years and done quite a good job. And then I thought, right, well, I'll give fostering a go. Seen a little advert on telly and on the local press, I think it was. And I thought, I'll give it a go, not thinking for one minute that I would get accepted. I just thought, right, I'll give that a shot, see how we get on.
There's a massive, massive thing of excitement. It's something new to your house. You know, me and my dad were just two, you know, dad and father and a son walking about this house just by ourselves for so long. So someone new coming in was exciting, but, you know, touching on that point again of you worry about, you know, things you're going to have to share. I worried about, you know, my dad's love having to be shared out, and you know, you do worry, like, oh, is it going to be, am I going to get pushed to the back? But it's, but for our case, and I imagine all cases, that's not, it isn't what happens, you know. It's, the person that comes in just joins your family. They're no less, no lower, they're part of your family, you know.
Well, right at the very beginning, I realised that my son living as a single parent. He had lots of his mates round. The house was full of kids who'd come round and play with him. I was cooking for them. They were having sleepovers like most families do. It was a natural progression for me that I was down with the kids. I got on with young people. I got on with them and they understand where I come from and I understood where they come from. And everyone just seemed to muscle along fine. And I just thought, well, that I could do something with this. And I could deal with kids who their parents were saying, oh, he's so badly behaved, he won't do this and he won't do that. But when they came here, they were behaving. They were eating their greens. They were eating broccoli when they wouldn't eat it at home. And it was all a case of, I'm not a magician. It was just sort of like when you're an outsider dealing with other people's children, you've got to adapt to their requirements, really. And if they don't like vegetables or if they don't like coming in at a certain time, you've got to try and bring them round to your way of thinking. More often than not, they like rules than guidelines, so they can deal with that. Where with foster children, more often than not, they've come from an environment that hasn't had much structure. The parenting skills of their parents, not in all cases, but on some occasions, hasn't been the correct one. So your job is to feed them and to look after them and care for them and to show them the right way to do things. And I've always said about fostering, you will never fix the problems that they've gone through. You will never help them to forget the problems that they've gone through, but you can maybe help them through this period in life and help them achieve the best that they can. I thought the fact that a single parent, my age, and I was a doorman for a period of time, and there was members of my family that hadn't been well behaved in the past. So I thought all them things would add up against sort of like the fact that I would not be a suitable candidate. But you're judged on your own merits and how you've behaved over your lifetime, not on your extended families, and you're judged on that. And fortunately, I've been a good lad, and they recognised that I could offer them something that they needed, which was to foster.
First time, funny story, I went through primary school, got to year six, finished, and everyone goes off in their own separate directions, and you never really learn about other kids, but the first kid that we had through the door was actually a kid that was at my school in my year. So that was a really odd experience, you know, because basically that was just like having a mate stay over, you know. And you don't know the stories behind them until they then come to you and you think, oh, maybe that's why he was, like, that's how he acted the way he was. So when he came, that was just great fun. We just messed about all the time, you know. He was so clumsy and it was just real, real good fun. And then, but the next time was a total stranger. That was a younger lad. We were very different. I've always been massively into sport, being out, being active, rolling around in the mud. And he was the total opposite. He loved to read a book. He loved to natter on to himself. But that's, if someone in your family was different to the rest of you, that doesn't make them an outsider, you know. So it was always, you know, making sure he knew you can join in if you want, but if you're happy doing that, that's fine. And, you know, there was no arguments. There was nothing like that. He just liked to do his own thing. Probably our biggest challenge has been our current foster child, who's, I'd refer to him as my brother now. He isn't a foster child to me anymore. He's been with us for a long time now. I think we're verging like 7, maybe 8 years. And he's definitely brought some challenges, you know. This was a kid that the first day he came to us and we said, right, go out and make some friends. We looked out of the window and he was scrapping on the field first day. There's a challenge chucked at you straight away. But the thing about these challenges is they come in so many different ways. They'll swear at you, they might throw things, they might, you know, do stuff. There's always something at the end that says it was worth it. Going through all that to see this result, like my brother now is totally different to how he was. You know, he's got a bit more attitude about him now because he's a teenager and he's a big lad and he gives it, you know, the big man. But his changing attitude with people, like before, if like you would come in, he would be really shy, he wouldn't really talk. If you asked questions, it'd be more of a nod than anything. But now his social skills are much more, and when you see these improvements, it's as much as the kid has to you know, correct themselves and improve themselves. Who's helped them do that? That's you guys as foster parents. So you do get a massive thing of like, yes, get in, you know, we've done something there.
Jamie came to me for 3 months as a failed adoptee who had quite a few problems in his behaviour and his attitudes and all that sort of stuff. And he was 9 going on 10 when he came to me. And he came for a respite, but it was a long respite, one of the longest ones I'd done, which was 3 months. Needless to say, they had trouble placing Jamie in another placement because of his behaviour, his continued behaviour. But we're coming into his 7th year, so he is part of the family now, and I put up with pretty much everything he can throw at me, and there's nothing he can do that riles me, gets me upset. The word that they use is challenging, and he is very, very challenging, but he is 17 now, and he's a teenager, and hopefully he will manage to achieve something in the future. He will be the person that he was meant to be.
I'd say more often than not, the rewards outweigh the challenges. I'm speaking from like the non-foster carer in this, in, you know, in the household. My dad's the registered foster carer. At times he's had really low parts where he's thought, I can't do it anymore. Talking about the same boy, you know, went for a period about when he was in year 10, year 11, where his behaviour was just so up and down, you know, to extremes as well, you know. But when you then step back, have a minute, think, yeah, he is being a little ratbag, you can really just push all that to one side and say, look where he's come, where you are now is just such a massive, you know, improvement. I've always, as long as I've known, been someone who likes to help, you know. So as far as fostering as, you know, as a job for my dad, as something I've been involved in, it definitely has helped mould me, definitely. Can I talk about what I'd have been if I hadn't been? No, but I know that it's definitely pushed towards who I am now, because some of these stories you hear, they're not nice. These kids that come to you, sometimes you feel like you're reading a script from a horror film, you know. It isn't, sometimes the stuff you hear, it's dark, it really is not nice. So when you hear that child's coming to you, you're aware of how you're going to have to be. You're thinking about, like, right, this kid might not act how I think that is normal to act, you know. I'd never tell my dad to do one with a few more swear words than that, but these kids might do. And if you don't switch on to the thing of where they've come from, you'd be turning your nose up at them, you'd be annoyed at them constantly. They haven't had someone say that's wrong, or that's all they've seen. So if that's all they've seen, that's correct, you know. So as far as it moulding me, definitely, you know, I've gone into a teaching assistant role where I work in a part of the school which is called social inclusion, the Bridge, which is a place where kids can come to get out of the main school system, behaviour, learning difficulties, you know, emotional issues, bereavement, all sorts. But it's all them kids in the background who you don't know their little stories. But when they come to you find out why, you know, why school's so hard. I'd say when you hear a foster story and you hear these kids' stories, it's all linked. So I reckon fostering has definitely given me a wider thing of understanding.
I would not say to anybody out there to be a foster carer if I wasn't 100% confident in this statement which I'm about to do. I do believe that everybody has got a caring nature. Everybody can care for people. Everybody can care for children, whether they be other people's or your own. It's within our nature to parent a child. I believe that everybody could be a foster carer. So if you're thinking to yourself, oh, I wonder if I could do it, I believe that if you're asking the question, could I do it, you could definitely do it, because it is not rocket science. It is looking after somebody. It's caring for somebody. It's recognising when they're upset. There's hundreds of people out there which will help you through this journey of becoming a foster carer. The rewards are massive. I say they're massive. When a child who's come into your household and does nothing but swear, refuse to eat food, breaks your furniture, is disruptive, when that child turns around to you and says thank you or does something so minuscule that you think, oh, crikey, we've made a massive step here. And all it is he's used a knife and fork. Or he said, excuse me, can I leave the table? That's massive. And that's the rewards that you get. When Jamie made a speech in front of cameras and in front of all these people at this award, because he won this award sport through adversity. And he won the award and he went up to get his trophy. And we did not expect anything to come from Jamie other than thanks and walk off with a bit of attitude. But he didn't. He walked up there and he said, "May I make a speech?" And everyone was shocked. And he stood there and he thanked everybody, and he thanked Peter Jagg, he thanked myself, he thanked his foster carers, his school teachers. It was amazing, and it brought a tear to my eye. And I'm a big bloke and I don't admit to tears very often, but it brought a tear to my eye to see that young man that had come into our household with all the problems and issues that he has and that he probably will have in the future, being able to do this. And that was really very rewarding.
Fostering isn't a thing where you think, oh, I need to be talked into this. That's like saying you need to be talked into being a dad or being a mom. You know, you've either got it in you, and I'd say most people do. It does take someone special, but if you have got a lovely little family situation, single dad, single mum, mum and dad, two blokes that are married, two ladies that are married and are thinking about doing it, if you honestly think that, you know what, I could be a good parent to someone who hasn't had that, then crack on. If you want to help someone and if you want to get some out of it, then do it. Don't second guess it. Get on the phone, get talking to someone.